I want to start in 1999, the No Mercy ladder match against Edge and Christian, and I still to this day remember you taking the dive off the top rope and landing on your ass on a ladder and nailing it into Edge and Christian's face. That's one of the key spots that I remember when I think of your career. Tell us about where that idea came from for that teeter-totter spot.
That was something actually we'd never really done that at any of our Omega shows, or it was something I think I came up with like leading up to that pay-per-view and didn't really know if it was possible, but I tried it out by myself in the ring and I was going, oh my god, this is possible, and we threw around a bunch of ideas, but and that was like one of the first big moments when me being a creative kind of guy, like, and when I think something's possible and then pulling it off. And to get that reaction and for that moment just to live throughout time is just one of the biggest payoffs, as far as I'm concerned, to make you really proud of what you've accomplished.
Do you still feel spots like that and ladder matches like that all these years later?
Oh, yeah. I mean, ladder matches are rough, but so much has been done. You know, it's hard to come up with stuff like that anymore. I still believe there's things to do, but I just haven't really figured them out yet.
I noticed you got quite creative when you went in a different direction with your character on Impact. You went with the dark sort of character, and I wonder if that's where you're directing your creativity more these days, Jeff, more than stunts in the ring, more towards character development.
Oh, everything's character is so important to me now. That's why, I paint at home all the time. I got a huge collection of these original paintings, big, small. I mean, there's probably near 100 of them now. But it's crazy because when I'm out on the road with Impact Wrestling, each night it's like now my face is my canvas, and I challenge myself each and every night to do something different. And just to make people go, wow, that is crazy. His eyes are closed and he's walking to the ring. This is what I came to see, you know. And I really get that vibe from what I'm doing now. I'm trying to wrestle. I am wrestling smarter than I ever have now, as far as my back, just from all the years of doing the Swantons, is really took a beating. It's way about character now.
Considering the shape you are in from a lot of those big spots over the years, I wonder if they're almost hesitant to bring matches like that to you anymore, knowing that kind of your professional pride might lead you to take some risks. I wonder if it's kind of like they don't want to ask you to do those kind of matches either because you might still go too far.
Yeah, well, as long as it's, it's not all the time, because that, I mean, that's still the main thing I love about professional wrestling is things like that moment you brought up in the first of the interview, and then me hitting the Swanton on Kurt Angle at last year's lockdown. I mean, it's just moments like that that are risky, but like when you do survive them, I mean, that's just, to me, that's what it's all about. I mean, it's all worth it in the end. But yeah, as long as it's every now and then, you know, it can't be every month, but every now and then, I'm always going to enjoy doing that stuff and enjoy the fear of getting hurt, I guess, and then actually getting through it. It's just something exciting about it.
When you take a big dive, like at WrestleMania 2000 off the huge ladder in the aisleway, or jumping off the balcony at Madison Square Garden, or jumping off the top of a cage, do you take a moment to yourself and like kind of exhale and jump, or do you just not think?
No, I don't really think. There's not much time to think, and even with coming from a amateur motocross background, it's like, man, when you hesitate, most of the times is when you end up getting hurt. So yeah, I pretty much don't think. I say, okay, I'm going to commit to this and I'm going to do it. And then when the time rolls around, I never hesitate. And luckily I've had no surgeries yet, and I pray that I keep it that way.
Now, you just won Impact Wrestling's Bound for Glory series, which I believe puts you in a position to challenge for the championship on the biggest TNA pay-per-view of the year, which, of course, is Bound for Glory in October. Talk about how you're seeing this run and this run at the belt, because your last run with the title, you were a heel. You were kind of trying different things. Now you're more back in the traditional babyface role. What does this run mean to you here as you're back toward the top of the cards?
Oh, it's crazy exciting. Especially like if you look back to, you know, when the Immortal title first dropped and, you know, and all that was going on with the Antichrist, and then you envision what it would be like if that happened now, just that's really exciting. And I've always I've talked really strong about Austin Aries for the last ever, because I've watched him on the live events even back when he was just the X Division champion. I'm like, oh my god, this guy is fun to watch. He is so confident and so talented and so innovative, all that good stuff, a lot like myself. So it's going to be a great main event at Bound for Glory in Phoenix. And if I can pull this win off, I got something huge in store for this run.
Very, very good. Now, Jeff, it's been a long road for you. Your trials and your tribulations have been well publicized throughout your this point in your career. And it looks like now you're decidedly back on track. You know, you don't hear any stories about, you know, you showing up late or missing shows or coming in, you know, questionable condition. You're honest about these things. And I wonder kind of how you're feeling from that perspective these days, because they even made it a storyline on Impact where you had to rebuild trust. That seemed to me like art imitating life.
That's exactly what it was, and it was real nerve-wracking, man. I think it was Huntsville, Alabama, that first night last August when I came back, and I pretty much had to I'll go out there in front of the world and, you know, spill my heart and admit that I'd hit rock bottom. But that was kind of the point where I started over, and I've said many times it's been a steady incline since that moment. I got that out and let some of the guys around here, too, get their true feelings out, and when that came across on camera, well, and I just sat back and took it, and I knew it was going to take a while, maybe years, to prove myself to these guys, but I'm over a year into it now, and everything is going extremely well.
What do you attribute it to? What was it that, because you'd come back a few times, you know, and had very high-profile opportunities, not only in Impact, but in the WWE, and you still seemed like you couldn't right the ship. Was there something in particular that made the difference this time?
Ultimately, fatherhood.
Oh, really?
That was it. Yeah. Yep. My dad, we just filmed my third Enigma DVD, which is going to be crazy good. And they interviewed my dad, and he pretty much, he said it, he summed it up real quick, and they asked him pretty much the same question. He said, Ruby, he said, she straightened him up. And when it all comes down to it, that's huge.
What do you think about being in this era of the business, Jeff, where your promoter, the company you work for, does a DVD addressing such personal issues, you know, bringing the reality of your personal life into the marketing of your character? Is that something that you're totally comfortable with? I mean, what do you think of it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm comfortable with it. You know, it kind of helps with recovery. I mean, kind of get, especially when, I mean, half my life I've been a professional wrestler, and I think the fans, especially, you know, after the arrest, I mean, that's like, it couldn't get much worse than that, other than, you know, me facing all those charges, and, I mean, that was bad. And so I pretty much, my song Resurrected was about having one more shot that TNA gave me to come back and do great, and I've been doing great, and I think the fans overall, looking back at me talking about my suspensions, I think it's to be respected in the long run, and I'm so confident and in love with life again right now that I feel like I'm more popular than I've ever been now, and I think it's helped for me to be honest and open and admit my mistakes and continue to incline ever, like I've done since Huntsville, Alabama. It's
sure.
All been good.
How's your brother Matt doing these days?
He's good, actually. I was down there. I just stopped in last night. He was training with Rebby, his girlfriend, and Ice Caprice Coleman, we used to wrestle with in Omega. I just stopped by and checked him out, and they were down there training. He's doing really well.
That's good to hear. Yeah, because it must have been tough, too, to see your brother go through a lot of tough public tribulations, much like you had. I'm sure you could relate to him, but at the same time, you didn't, you know, you didn't want to see him in that position, of course.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking at times, and it was weird because I was just getting my stuff had just ended pretty much, and then that all
right.
I had to deal with that, my brother going through that. But I'm extremely proud of him, and he's doing great.
Very good, Jeff. Where did you ever get the idea? I can't believe no one in the business has ever done this before, or maybe they have, and I just don't know. And you can tell me the idea to paint eyeballs on your eyelids, because that's ingenious. When you close your eyes, it looks like, you know, contact lens eyeballs looking at you, and I've never seen anybody else do that with face paint.
Yeah, man, it's like I've evolved to the max now. You know, Johnny Depp did it in one of the Pirates movies, but naturally it was all neat. I do all my each eye myself, and you know, before every match, and I had done it on a YouTube video, and it was just my eyes, and I was like, oh my god, it looks crazy cool. And then kind of by mistake, I think it was at Genesis last year or something, it was just complete white eyes. There was no pupil, and I was like, oh my god, this looks so cool. And then seeing it back on TV, and then I was going, what if I threw the pupils in there like I did? And now I make the pupils different colors every now and then. It's just been, I mean, it's just crazy cool. And that's probably the most thing I get excited about when I watch Impact back, is how my entrance looked, because it blows my mind because it looks so cool sometimes.
A lot of the guys in the business, and I don't know if people know this, I've assumed this, and I have a hint that it's the case. A lot of guys in the business do their own face paint, right, Jeff?
Sure. That's what's cool about being here with Sting. He's always done his own face paint, and even back in the blonde hair Sting days, that's one thing I always noticed about him. I was like, oh my God, it's different every time. Like when he would do all the different designs, and so I pretty much do the same thing now. I just paint my eyelids when I do it.
Yeah. Do you guys paint faces side by side in the locker room? Do you trade tips?
That's never happened, man. I think we have different techniques, but it's just cool because he was such an influence in my career.
What kind of
to
paint?
Be here working with him.
What kind of paint do you use?
I use a water-based. It's a Posco marker. It's a water-based thing, and that's why it dries, good on my eyelids, and it'll even last the whole match at times. But like Sting, I think what he uses is acrylics. It's some kind of acrylic that kind of peels off.
Right.
But yeah, mine dries more to your skin, but it's a little harder to get off as well.
You don't get concerned that's going to melt into your eyes and stuff?
No, it's pretty. I've been lucky so far, but sometimes it does get too dry and and little flakes of it get in my eyes, and my eyes get a little irritated. But it hadn't been too bad so far.
Can we go back to quickly here as we wrap up 2006? The late Umaga, you worked a program with him in the WWE, and it really, to me, following your whole career, was such a breakthrough series of matches with Umaga. You were at the time they didn't necessarily the WWE that is have you in mind for a WrestleMania position. You more had that Royal Rumble title shot that they do with guys that get an opportunity, and that was just such a fantastic program, and the matches were so hot on Raw. Can you talk about whether the Umaga program in 2006, the late Umaga, was a big deal for your career? It seemed like a turning point to me, but I wonder if you feel the same way.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was. That was for the Intercontinental title, too, wasn't it, most of the time? Or
yes, I think so, yeah.
Seems like it was. I remember, it seems like I was a year into my, somewhere, I don't know, but we had oh my God, it's still one of my favorite matches of all time. It was I don't know which paper it was, but it was such a good match, just me against the Big Samoan, and oh my God, I loved working Umaga and loved him as a human being as well. But yeah, I think that was probably, as far as being a solo guy, and I think that might have defined what they saw in me. That, okay, this guy's got it. Let's roll with it.
Were you friendly with Umaga? I imagine you took his passing sort of hard.
Oh yeah, it was horrible, man. It was horrible. Like his wife, and I knew his wife and kids, and yeah, it's a sad deal.
Is the TNA schedule, the Impact schedule, any easier on you? I know a lot of, in the very beginning, or actually when they first got on Spike, Kurt Angle came over, of course, and a lot of other guys, Christian, they came over and said, this is an easier schedule than the WWE, and it's a favorable option. And that was the case, but Impact Wrestling has grown a lot, and they do a lot of house shows now. They go on the road a lot. You're on the road a lot. Is it about the same, or is it still an easier schedule than your WWE days?
It's easier. It's been kind of tough. Like we've been live throughout the whole summer, so naturally I'll be home for 2 or 3 days straight. But when it's taped, you end up getting like a straight week off. It's really nice. But yeah, it's a lot more laid back, and it's there's not as many live events. But that's something that's getting really good with us now. Like our shows are getting better. It feels like each year we go back to the next town, it's better, and it takes time. It's not going to happen overnight. But yeah, it's a way better schedule as far as allowing you time to heal and take care of yourself.
And finally, Jeff, it was, of course, it's well known when folks know the Hardy Boy stories that, you guys were on Raw as, jobbers, as opening match guys getting tossed around. You worked with Scott Hall. That was one of the famous squash matches on Raw back in the day. And then one day in, I think, 99, on Sunday Night Heat, you come out with Michael Hayes, you and your brother Matt, and you come out with, these goth-style outfits. And really, you rode that image all the way till today. Talk about where that image for you guys came from, that Hardy Boys look.
I used to be a character called Will-O-The-Wisp in Omega back in the day, and I would always, I think it was Marilyn Manson, I saw he had the cut-up pantyhose, and that was where the arm stockings came from, and I never got to wear them until we did, become the New Brood, and I'll never forget asking approval if I could paint my fingernails and wear these things, if it'd be great for the character. And they approved it and said, yeah, you can pretty much do what you want. I never started wearing eyeliner or anything then, but that was a turning point in itself as far as I really started to be able to be more myself. At that point, we had a little more, you know, a little bigger chance to, at me anyway, to be different to where Matt's always kind of been, you know, straightforward. But yeah, as far as the cut up stockings and the painted fingernails, that was really the beginning of me. Yeah, you're right. Becoming how I am now. And I just took it to the next level.
Jeff, do you have an idea of how much longer you want to do this?
No, I have no idea. I have no plan as far as I just turned 35, and I don't know. I mean, I'll just I'm definitely going to take time off in between, whether it's yearly, you know, schedules or whatever it may be. But I do love being here in TNA, and I believe in all this talent that's here. So yeah, I don't know how long I'll be able to do it. I'll be definitely taking breaks in between runs, if that's a way to put it.
Sure, we got you, and we look forward to seeing it develop. Jeff Hardy winning the Bound for Glory Series tournament, and you can see him, it sounds like, if all goes according to plan, against Austin Aries on the Bound for Glory pay-per-view from Impact Wrestling every Thursday night on Spike. Jeff, it was a pleasure to have you on the Mouthpiece Wrestling Show, and best of luck in the future.
Thanks, man.